Hello, hello, my fellow podcast people. I hope you're doing very, very well on this fine Sunday afternoon, or whatever day and time it is for you right now as you're listening to this podcast episode. I'm your host, as per usual, Azarin the Language Nerd. You can find me primarily on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and YouTube, but also secondarily whenever I feel like posting on TikTok and on Tumblr. My username on all these platforms is exactly the same. It is at polyglotazarin. That is spelled P-O-L-Y-G-L-O-T, A-Z or Z, depending on your country, R-E-N. And welcome to another podcast episode. I'm very, very excited, as per usual, to be recording this one here. Now, I want to share something really fascinating with you guys. Lately, I have been doing some more Gujarati studying. For those of you who don't know, let me give you a quick backstory. My mother tongue, or rather the language that my family all speaks, and I speak as well, is called Gujarati. It is a language that comes from India, from a region that is called Gujarat. It's kind of in the northwest part of India. And it's a language I grew up speaking. However, seeing as I grew up in Canada, there was a lot of stuff with Gujarati I didn't actually learn. So I couldn't read and write for the longest time. I spoke a specific dialect of Gujarati that was not necessarily the most quote-unquote standard. We used certain words that came from Swahili and not from Gujarati because my family, for many years, actually lived and grew up in Africa, in Uganda. And so when they were in Uganda, they spoke a lot of Swahili, and so that's kind of bled into our Gujarati. And not to mention, my family has now been in Canada for a long time, and so when we speak Gujarati, we mix a decent amount of English when we're speaking. So all of that to say, for most of my life, as many of you know, this is more for the new listeners, but as many of you know, for most of my life, I spoke Gujarati, but not super duper well. Now, early this year, early 2018, I spent 2 months in India, where I was studying Gujarati really intensively. I was in class, it would have been, let me think here, would have been five or six hours a day, 5 days a week, or maybe even 6 days a week, actually, potentially, 5 or 6 days a week. I need to go back in my calendar and check that, but 5 or 6 days a week, 6 hours of class a day. I would speak to people on the streets. I was speaking to people in my family. I was watching series and YouTube channels and whatnot on YouTube and on Instagram and on social media. Like, I was really intensively immersed in Gujarati, and I was learning a lot. I learned a ton in that 2 month window in India. When I got back to Canada, this would have been, I got back to Canada in about end of March, is that right? End of March? Yes, end of March of this year, 2018. Since then, I haven't really done a lot with Gujarati. The first couple of months back, I did a little bit to maintain it. I took some classes online. I did some reading practice. I did a little bit, but not a ton. And in recent history, it's fallen off the map completely. I've done like literally zero. Until yesterday, or rather more specifically, I would say 3 days ago, something changed. Randomly, I don't even know where the idea came from. I was like, meh, I'm gonna find a Gujarati movie on Netflix. I'm gonna see if there's TV shows or movies or whatever there are on Netflix. And actually, to back up even more, what instigated the whole thing is I stumbled across a series that was in Hindi on Netflix. And then I thought to myself, huh, I wonder if there are Gujarati series. And I found a couple movies, I found some different things on Netflix. I decided to watch one, and that's gotten me back into Gujarati. And there's two major things I wanna point out from this whole experience. Number one, it is 100% normal to study a language and be doing all of the right things and be practicing and learning new words and doing all the right things and then to fall off the wagon and then to fall off the map. And suddenly at a certain day, you move on and you're not studying the language anymore. It's actually 100% normal. And I think a lot of people feel discouraged. And they feel discouraged that, oh wow, I was studying for a long time and I was doing all the right things and now I'm not. And I just want you to know that it happens to everyone. And even if hypothetically this doesn't happen to, you know, let's say there's someone who's really consistent with their languages, right? Even if to that hypothetical person, if they're always consistent with their languages, everyone falls off the map in some elements of our life. In other words, everyone is inconsistent in some area or another. And I think it's important, in my opinion anyway, it's important to not beat yourself up over it. And it's important to just recognize it as a truth and try and learn from it. To say, huh, this time I fell off the map. I wasn't consistent. I stopped studying. How can I avoid that next time? What went wrong? And what can I change in the future? And just try and learn from it every time without doing that self-judgment. I think a good example of this is myself. For the longest time, I used to think that if I take private classes with a teacher or a tutor in a language, that's going to keep me accountable. I've also done that with my health, as a matter of fact. I hired a nutritionist who I would talk to one-on-one, and I thought that would keep me accountable. And I've noticed a pattern that it works for me for a little while, and then it stops working, because eventually I realize I can just cancel on them, or I can not show up, or I can reschedule stuff. And what ends up happening is I waste a lot of money on unused lessons and unused sessions with my tutor or nutritionist or whoever. And so I realized that early on, yes, it works, but then there's a point where it starts to fall off. And so now when I went to Mandarin, for example, I was actually considering, when I was thinking of getting back into it, I was considering hiring a tutor to get myself back on track. But then I thought back and realized, wait a second, I've been through this rodeo before. I've done this before and I know the outcome. So what's going to be different this time? And so I decided I was going to go to university. That's a group setting that feeds my competitive spirit. I want to be the best in the class or really strong. You know, I know there's a university degree on the line, which has a little bit more weight to it than just a random, you know, one-on-one tutoring session. So even if I miss a lot of class, which I do, I usually or always make sure that at the end of the day, I get enough done to still get decent marks and still move the ball forward. So that's number one. It's don't beat yourself up when you are being inconsistent. I think a big key is just to try and learn from the experience and try to, as much as possible, avoid making the same mistakes hundreds of times or many, many times. You will probably make the same mistakes a few times before you catch on that it's a pattern. Like, I have hired God knows how many tutors thinking you'd keep me on track, and then I fell off the wagon. I probably made the same mistake 7 times or more until I finally caught the pattern. But you don't want to be making the same mistake 50 times, 100 times, right? Let's say below 25 would be great. So that's number one. And number two, I want to kind of focus this podcast on something very tactical, very, very tactical. And it's how I have been using how I have used online videos in the past to learn languages. I think a lot of people like to use TV shows and online videos and Netflix and resources like that to learn languages. And although many people have been successful using strategies like that, I've also noticed that there are many people who try the strategy, who try to use television and Netflix and YouTube to learn languages, but they're not overly successful. So hopefully, if I can share some tips, share some things that work for me, some things that don't work for me, hopefully you can take a nugget or two from that and implement that into your own language learning strategy or your own language learning process. Now, first thing here, when you're watching online videos, there's two different, I guess you could say, streams that I personally have gone into. Sometimes I just watch videos passively, meaning I find some YouTuber on YouTube, obviously, I find a YouTuber who talks in Gujarati or Mandarin or whatever. I watch their videos. I don't understand everything, but I watch it passively. I watch it and I go and I try and understand what's going on. There's many people I followed like that where I don't understand everything, but I understand enough to be able to enjoy their content. Or there's enough stuff going on where I can understand some stuff with context and I'm following along. This has a lot of value. This, I think, is a lightweight manner of studying a language. It's not overly mentally taxing. There's a lot of stuff you can realize passively, like you can judge by context what people say and be like, oh, he said that, interesting, I could do that too. There's a lot of stuff you can really collect from it. However, I will say this, I think for a lot of people, especially if you're more on the beginner side of things or even maybe intermediate, I think that sometimes this might not be the best strategy because there's too much going on that you're not capturing, that, you know, you're just not able to, even though you're understanding some stuff and enjoying the videos, you're not actually absorbing a lot of stuff. You're not actually really saving a lot of stuff in your brain. Even if you are maybe on the more advanced or, you know, middle intermediate, upper intermediate, even when you are more in that kind of range and you can enjoy videos and can enjoy them and understand a higher percentage, you still might not remember the stuff that you're watching. Because you watch it, you're like, oh, that's interesting, cool. But by the time you've had the thought, oh, that's interesting, cool, I learned a new word, 10 other things have happened in the TV show or in the Netflix show or in the YouTube video that all of a sudden, you know, you've almost already forgotten that first thing that you learned. And yes, let's be on the same page here. The things that you're learning when you're watching passively, yes, they do kind of get saved in your subconscious memory. So when you see them again or hear them again, you're like, oh yeah, I've heard that, I've seen that, that's not new. Yeah, right, of course. So there is value, right? It is going in your brain, but at the same time, I just believe that passive watching and passive listening alone is not necessarily enough. A final example I'll give to demonstrate this point is with Hindi, okay? I have grown up with Hindi around me for my whole life, usually through the medium of music, okay? My sister likes a lot of Hindi songs that are in Hindi. Whenever I go to functions and stuff, I hear it. So I've been around it a lot. I've watched some Bollywood movies, not a lot, but I've watched some, you know, like I've been around it. When I've gone to India, I hear it. I've been around it. However, you know, I don't really speak Hindi that well. And really, now I understand it better than I used to be able to, but that's because I've done a little bit of active study with it. The time where I was just doing passive stuff, like, it was useless. Like, not useless, but I didn't really learn a lot. All that's really happened is that Hindi feels very familiar to me. It feels very familiar. And my mind goes, oh yeah, I like that language. I feel comfortable. I know the sounds, I could hear the sounds, and I feel comfortable with it. But I didn't learn Hindi. I just feel comfortable. And I think that's kind of, I've been circling around, but I think that's a good way to sum it up. Passive listening or passive watching allows you to feel comfortable or feel more comfortable with the sounds of the language, but maybe not with the words and the vocabulary and grammar and other elements. The other way you could be watching online videos and engaging with them is in a more active way. And this is what I've been doing with Gujarati the past few days. I've watched, looks like probably a movie, and a 1.25 movie. So I watched a whole movie and I'm roughly less than a quarter way through another Gujarati movie right now. And what I've been doing with these movies is the first time I watch it from the beginning to the end. I put the English subtitles. I'm just watching to enjoy, literally. I don't look at the subtitles unless I need to. So I am really focused on listening and I only glance down occasionally. But most of my attention is literally on, let me enjoy the movie and pick up what I can by watching. Catch a couple of words, be like, oh, that's interesting, and nothing more. AKA, I'm just watching for pleasure and 20% of my attention's on learning something. Then I go back and I re-watch the movie and I watch it sentence by sentence, right? I watch it sentence by sentence. So this, for example, I was watching one movie, it was called, I don't remember. Lavni Bhavai, I think it's called. Yeah, it sounds right. Lavni Bhavai. No, Bhavai. Bhavai or Bhavai? Bhavai, I think. Bhavai. Yeah, anyway. That's the movie, that's the first one I watched. I've been re-watching it right now. I'll watch the first line, I'll pause. I'll listen, be like, what did he say? Okay, I got that. I'll look at the English subtitles. I'll think about the sentence. I'll write that sentence down. I'll look at the new words. I'll write practice sentences with the new words. I'll notice that, oh, that new word is masculine, not feminine, interesting. And I really do it like word per word, sentence for sentence. Everything that is new, I pause. I write it down, I write practice sentences, I write down everything I could think about for that word, and then I replay the whole thing again. I replay it again, I listen again, I pause, I imitate them, I shadow what they said, I imitated the exact same way they said it in the movie. Then I go to the next line and I repeat the process. So essentially, if I were to break it down into a very simple process, step one, watch the movie or watch the TV show from beginning to end. Step two, go back to the beginning, hit play, and watch the movie or TV video sentence by sentence. Step three, In every sentence, take note of all of the new words, new expressions, or new concepts that you did not know before. Make a note of them, write them down. Step four, include in step three, you might need to look in a dictionary to see what some of those things mean. You're gonna have to go online, look at a dictionary, ask a friend, learn what some of those words and phrases, expressions mean. Step four, write practice sentences with those new words, terms, expressions, etc. Step five, say those sentences and say them as if you are actually in the scenarios of your sentences. So if you learn the word cow, right, and you wrote a sentence, man, that's a big cow, right? You might, when you're saying it, you might be like, oh, I'm on the farm, and whoa, that's a big cow. Say it as if you are in a scenario where you would use it. Imagine yourself there, visualize yourself there. Heck, even have a conversation with yourself. When you say, whoa, that's a big cow, this is gonna sound weird, but change your voice, make it deeper, pretend you're the farmer. Oh yeah, that's a big cow, all right. Betsy's old, you know, whatever. I don't know how farmers talk, but Betsy's like 52 years old. Whoa, that cow is 52 years old? Holy moly, right? Have a conversation with yourself. Next step, whatever step we're on. In the video, shadow them, copy them exactly as you heard it in the movie, okay, or in the video. What was that, five steps, six steps, however many it was. Go through that process. It's gonna take you a long time, by the way. Certain sentences, you're gonna be lucky and you're gonna know everything they said. There's not gonna be anything to really practice. And it's gonna take you, if it's, you know, my movie that I watched was 2.5 hours, it's gonna take me probably, if I even finish the whole thing, we'll see. It's probably gonna take me a long time to get through the whole thing. Like, I don't know, like 10 hours, 15 hours, 20 hours, who knows how long it'll take. Hello? Hi, you're back? Why? And? Why'd you, I'm doing a podcast. Are you coming down? Huh? Well, you're in the podcast. Bye. My mom came home, so I wanted to say hi. Anyway, it's going to take me a very, very, very long time to actually get that whole thing done. Like, it's going to take a very, very long time. And that's perfectly normal. But when you're doing this, it's a very active way of studying, and it really can help you ingrain a lot of new words and expressions and phrases so much. You can really take a lot from it. And so I think a lot of people often think that watching TV and movies and stuff and videos, you can just learn by simply watching them and having them playing in the background and such, which is true to an extent, but I don't think it's fully 100% true. You have to do way more with it. It's kind of like if you bought a textbook and you just kind of casually read the textbook, like you'll learn stuff from it, but you have to do practice exercises. You have to implement it. You have to listen to it. You have to do so much more. I want to throw something out here. A similar experience I've been having, and this is going into a teaching direction, but also applies to language learners. I've been quite impressed lately with an online program I've been going through, which is called, is it called Yo-Yo Chinese? Let me double check if it's called Yo-Yo Chinese, or if that's just what I think it's called. I've talked about it once before, Yo-Yo Chinese. Let me just double check. Is that what it's called? Yes, Yo-Yo Chinese. That is what it's called. I've been going through some other courses lately, and it's been really good because this strategy of using video is basically how they've been doing it. Like that's the type of structure they've been using in their online course here. So for example, you know, I'm using the upper intermediate course. I'm on unit, whatever it is, unit two, it looks like. Yeah, unit two, lesson three. Basically it's like a real Mandarin dialogue, and what she'll do is she'll play the dialogue with subtitles, right? With Mandarin subtitles, not English, but Mandarin subtitles. She'll play the full thing. It's like a real life situation. You watch the thing, then she goes back, and before you watch it again, she teaches all the new words. She'll be like, hey, Kate, you watch this. Here's all the new words. Bum, 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 bum. Here's what they mean. Then she'll play the dialogue sentence by sentence, break the sentence down, explain the new words, right? Explain what's happening in English. Then with the new words, she'll give lots of example sentences so you could see how that word is used in context. So, and then what she'll do is she'll go to the next sentence, do it the next sentence, and the next sentence, and the next sentence. Rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. Then she'll replay the whole dialogue from start to finish, so you can, and without subtitles actually, mind you, no subtitles, so you can watch it again and see if you actually comprehend it. I think it's a really, really good way to go about it. I think she's, I just think it's really good, and I'm curious to see if other languages have programs that are like this, because it's quite effective. Basically what the program's doing, it's doing basically what I do by myself, what I'm doing by myself with Gujarati, with other languages I've studied, right? She's kind of breaking that down for you and saving the learner some time. I will say this on the program. The one thing that, you know, the one thing I'll say on the program that I've been going through is I do wish that she gave more example sentences, if that makes sense. So when she goes through a new word, she might give two examples, one example, three examples of how the word could be used. I think more examples would benefit me personally. Like when I think about Hive and going through Gujarati, you know, for me to really, even though Gujarati is my mother tongue, I grew up with it, right? For me to really understand a word properly, I need to write for myself or think about like 4, 5, 6, 7 examples in different types of scenarios before my brain finally grasps it. And so one thing for this Mandarin course that I've been noticing is like, Mandarin's not my mother tongue. And so like, it's difficult for me to come up with my own example sometimes. So anyway, just a random little side note on that whole thing, but that's kind of the one thing. So anyway, Yo-Yo Chinese, good program, been liking it, it's awesome. I've lost my whole train of thought here, but yes, I remember what I was saying, teachers, sorry, got sidetracked. But teachers, anyone who teaches a language, this can be a really effective way to be teaching languages as well. So if you have students, if you teach a class, the homework would be to watch a 10-minute video, a 20-minute video, a 5-minute video, a 30-minute video, it doesn't really matter. Ask the students to watch it for their homework from start to finish, just for enjoyment's sake, right? Have them write down, I would say 5 to 10 words or phrases that were new to them and that they didn't understand, and have them look them up in a dictionary and have a hypothesis of to what those words actually mean. And even take a step further, now that I'm talking this out, have them write 2 or 3 practice sentences per word. So that's gonna be that's a good homework to give them. It's a lot, so you could cut down on a little bit, but that's a good framework to follow. Then when you're in class together, go through the video sentence by sentence, right? Go through all the words, correct the student sentences, give them lots of examples. I think it's a really, really good framework and a really, really good way to be teaching. People who are self-teaching languages, you can obviously follow this process yourself. It's going to take you more time, and you might need to ask other tutors or other people you know for help to really make sure you're doing stuff correctly. Like when you write your practice sentences, it's probably a good idea to have someone correct those practice sentences to make sure you're learning things the proper, correct kind of way. Something I'd highly recommend. So anyway, let's wrap this podcast up here. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your attention, and we will talk later. Bye for now, guys. See you.